Dispelling fear. You're dispelling discouragement. God, we thank you that your zeal is beginning to rise up on the inside of us. It's beginning to rise on the inside. Your fire is beginning to ignite on the inside of us again. We thank you, God, that as your light comes and your Holy Spirit penetrates deep in us, Lord God, we thank you for revelation of just how amazing you are, my God. You know, I've just been so aware. You can sit down or stand up or whatever you like. We're going to kind of just flow. Are you happy to just have a seat or something? But we just thank you, God, that I've just been so aware, especially in the last week, that we are in such a battle. And sometimes we just become kind of dull to the battle. And we just think that these things that are happening just discouragement or negative thoughts or feelings about somebody that you really love, you know, you suddenly get irritated with them, and we think it's in the natural, but this isn't natural, this is spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle every minute of the day, and I just felt like tonight the Lord was saying, come on guys, arise and shine, because you've got the light. You already have the light within you. You've got every bit of truth that you need, you know. God has already given us, I'm just going to read you a whole lot of things. The most amazing things happened. He shone your light, his light, into our hearts and revealed himself to us. The fact that we're here tonight is extraordinary. Come on. That God has stepped into our lives. Isn't that incredible? That's amazing that the God, the living God, would step into our lives and reveal himself to us. If he hadn't revealed himself to us, we'd still be pagans walking out there. We would have no revelation of his greatness. He has cleansed us from all our sin through his precious blood. Amazing. He's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of his light. He's placed us in Christ, and we are seated where? In heavenly places. So whatever you're looking at right now, you can look down on it. Because we also have authority to speak to mountains. Yeah. Mountains in our own lives. And you know, Les and I have just had a tough week. And suddenly this morning, I got up early and I was praying. And suddenly I felt the Lord saying, your eyes have been so fixed on yourselves and your problems and what you're going through and discouragement that you've forgotten to look at me. And as soon as I started to look at Jesus and start to praise him and thank him and started to exercise faith, activate faith, yes. The doubt and the unbelief went. I started to reach the word, speak the word, speak it over my life, started to pray in tongues because the enemy hates that. You know, we've got so many weapons, guys. We've got the name of God. We've got the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Tongues that we can speak, which the enemy hates. We've got praise. We've got worship. We've got the blood of Jesus. He's given us all these weapons. And a lot of the time, I think we just feel tired. And especially London. We're in such a battle here. You know, Sean Foyt came to have lunch with us yesterday. And he was saying he just senses this whole blanket over the United Kingdom. And I think it's, you know, the clouds. We never have a sunny day in this place, do we? Woo! And I think it's a spiritual thing. I think we've got to take authority over the clouds. Because it's like a blanket that comes on us and it kind of stifles zeal. You know? When Josh came back this week from New Zealand, it was so great to him at a prayer meeting, because I suddenly realized we'd become kind of, you know? But we weren't like, fighting. We weren't proactive. We weren't involved in the battle. You know, and I believe the Lord is just saying, stir yourselves up. And stir yourselves up in your most holy faith. You know, at the beginning of James, he tells us, stir yourselves up. Even the gift that the Lord has given you through the laying on of hands, he says you've got to stir it. If you don't stir it, you see, what the enemy does the whole time is just pour doubt in your mind, right? Yeah, it's happening all the time. He's saying to you, did God really say, like he did to Eve, like he did to Jesus in the wilderness? Even Jesus, you know, he's just accusing us all the time, isn't he? And so there's promises in your life. You're feeling hopeless. It's because hope deferred makes the heart sick. But sometimes our faith just sort of crumbles and dies. And the Lord's saying, stir your faith and feed yourself. And you know all these things, but it's just to do them. And because, you know, we've got such a call on our lives, this church, to create a habitation for the presence of God in this place. And I think the enemy's been really attacking us. And I think we haven't been aware of it. We've just been thinking these are natural things that are happening. You know that I'm tired. I don't feel like going to the meeting tonight. Look how few of us there are tonight. I mean, it's crazy. I think we're a great church. I don't understand it. And I just think the enemy doesn't like what we're doing. And that's what Sean was also saying yesterday. He said, when you're doing breakthrough pioneer stuff that we're doing in the spirit, like burns and nights of worship and a lot of prayer, he said the enemy is going to do everything in his power to destabilize you and to knock you off. And he's doing that. And so sometimes when you arrive at the meeting and you're feeling so weary and you just feel like, oh, I don't feel like coming, or you don't come because you feel weary, I believe the Lord's saying, come on, guys, stir yourselves. We're in a battle. This isn't a natural thing to just feel so tired all the time. I want to go to sleep when I'm preaching. I'm going to watch out for you. Anybody goes to sleep. But seriously, God is saying, stir yourselves up. You're an army. We're an army. You know, an army, they don't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I don't feel like getting up today, you know. General, can I have the day off? Oh, I'm feeling a little snivelly. I think I might have to stay in bed. You know, we're not meant to be wimps. We are the army of God. And I just want to encourage us tonight. Because, you know, there's a whole world out there waiting for us to reach them. So, will you grab your Bibles? And if you don't have one, there are lots here. Has anybody not got a Bible? If you came out without your sword, guys, has anybody not got a Bible? Oh, you're such a passive bunch. Stand up, please. Come, stand up. Woo! And turn to Isaiah 61. Graham, haven't you got one? If you haven't, there are lots of Bibles up here. So will you turn to Isaiah 61? Great. You can put it up if you want to, Claire. But it's really good to just have the word in your hand. So we say together, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Isn't that amazing? Do you want to read it again? Let's read it again. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Say me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Are we not getting any more? And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Yes, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And then will you all just turn to different walls and just pray in tongues for the lost out there right now. Just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I want to suggest that every one of us prays in tongues every day for 10 minutes for the lost. And just start to ask God to give you a heart for them. You know, it's not like them and us. It's just all our brothers and sisters out there who we don't know yet. You know? They're all the sons and daughters who haven't come back to the Father yet. And I believe that as we start to pray for them, I mean, more than 10 minutes if you can, but can we commit ourselves to doing that? Just 10 minutes a day? You know, even if you're walking along the street, you can be praying for them in tongues. Just the people that you go past. You know, Lord, a prayer that I pray a lot is from Psalm 43, and it's, God, send your light and your truth, and let them lead me to your presence, to the place where you dwell. So we can ask that. We can pray that prayer. And when you pray the word, as well as in the spirit, there's extra power. And the word doesn't return void. And so as you're praying for people in the street, Lord, send your light and your truth. And on the tube and on the buses and wherever we are, we're going to begin to see our hearts changed for them, but also things beginning to happen. Liz, is Liz here? She apparently heard Benny Johnson say something about the Lord is anointing angels to you something like that. To he's releasing angels of salvation at the moment all over the world. Isn't that amazing? And so, okay, you can sit down if you want to, but you can stand if you want. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 9, and I'm going to be quite quick now, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. And then, okay, that's in Matthew 9. Then the very next chapter, Matthew 10, he answers his own prayer by sending out workers. He sends out the 12. And in the message, I love it. He said, it says here, don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people here right in your neighborhood. Isn't that great? That's so practical. So go to the lost, confused people right here in your neighborhood, your neighbors, the people, you know, the guy who sells you in the shop, you know, the local Tesco's or whatever you go to, the one that you see regularly. He's lost and confused. They don't know what's going on. Tell them the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead, you know, as we do. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You've been treated generously, so live generously. Isn't that great? And, you know, I was thinking, what have you received, you know? I mean, I think that if I was to just hand out a mic, anybody would be able to give me a testimony right now, right, of what God's doing in your life right now. I'm sure that we don't have time for that. But, you know, whatever is real for you, whatever God's done for you, you have the authority, the credibility, the authority to give it away. Amen. And so whatever revelation you've had about God, you don't have to only share it with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but you can share it with people in the office. And you don't have to say, the Bible says this, but you can just share life, share bread with people. Are you beginning to feel excited? Oh, I think it's amazing. You know, the best testimony is, I once was blind, but now I see. Nobody can argue with that. You know, you can say, I don't know much. I don't, know much theology or even word, but what you can give is your testimony. And if we had time, I was going to ask everyone to go to somebody else and give their testimony in 3 minutes. So we might have time. We'll have to see how it goes. But it's really good. I think Les mentioned that recently. It's so good to work out your testimony and write it down and get it really concise and interesting. Not boring, you know. You know, not going to drive everyone to sleep. But really telling people what God's done for you in the most relevant, punchy, non-religious way. So I think that's a really good exercise for all of us to do, to get ready. Because we've got to get ready for the harvest, guys. Really? It, you know, if Jesus says the harvest is ripe and the harvest is white, all we've got to do is keep alert to the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things I'm trying to do, and I've just loaned Kenrick a book called Catching the Initiatives of God. And it's great. You know, and some of you are doing it. I know Josh is doing it. Kenrick's doing it. A lot of you are doing it. But just to, wherever you are, to just be completely sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so you're not kind of going through the motions of, you know, this is, I'm going to take out the four spiritual laws or, you know, do my normal thing. But we're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're saying, are you giving me some revelation about this person that I'm speaking to right now, or this person next to me on the tube, or the lady at the petrol station? You know, have you got something to say to them? And it might just be something so simple like, you know, God loves you, or God's just told me to pray for you, or something. It could change their lives. Do you know that they say that before a person gets saved, they've worked out, I don't know how they worked it out, but they have 14 encounters with some kind of Christian message. So it could be somebody handing them a tract in the street, which I hate to do, but some people, it's successful for some people. You know, it could be that. It could be somebody else I don't know, anything. But 14 encounters. And so we get discouraged when people don't want to respond to the gospel when we're sharing it. But it might be only number 5 encounter. But up in glory, the Lord's still counting that. You know, it's still one of your rewards because you've been reaching people with the gospel. So we mustn't get discouraged if we're not, because Paul says some sow and some reap. So you might not have the reaping anointing that day, but you might have it tomorrow. Amen. Are you getting excited?
Yes.
Come on, stir up the spirit. I'm really praying. I just didn't want to just preach a word tonight. I really said to the Lord, I really pray that by the time we leave tonight, we'll be in a different paradigm. You know, our thinking will be different. We'll be outward focused instead of inward focused. Because we are, you know, we are here for the presence of God. We all love the presence of God. That's why we love Burns and everything. But that isn't the whole story, guys. That's part of it. That's the most important part of it. Because when we come into the glory and we receive his light, then we take the light out into the world. And that light, I believe, people can see. I really believe people who are psychic and spiritually in darkness can see the radiance around us. You know, I remember we were in the Czech Republic some time ago, and we were at a ski resort, and I went to have a massage. And this woman said to me, "You have an aura around you." And I was so excited. I said, "It's Jesus," because she was into all kinds of weird stuff. But, you know, people can see, and the enemy can see, and that's why he hates us so much. But we are much more powerful. We've got the authority of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So we are the victors, guys. We've got everything to shine for. And so I just wanted to challenge you guys and say, you know, one of the things that I felt about more than a year ago was I really never came across unsaved people. And so that's why I've been going to this Arch place where we minister to homeless women. And I want to learn to love people, because it's easy to love you guys. I love you all. But it's not so easy to love some of the smelly people out there and the ones who just throw it back in your face and swear at you and, you know, all that stuff. But I tell you what, if each of you just decided, okay, I'm going to ask the Lord, let him initiate it, But ask him what you could do to just reach people, you know, on a regular basis, like join a jazz club or, I don't know, whatever thing you like doing, you know, so that you can meet, maybe you are already surrounded by them at work and where you live and all of that, which is great, because then you are carrying the light permanently. You're carrying the presence of God into situations. You're changing the atmosphere just because you're there. Because arise, shine. The light has come. The light is on the inside of you. And as you, wherever you go, you take the light. That's so exciting. And you know, each one of you is unique. And you have your own sphere of influence, each one of you. And so I just want to encourage you guys to start to reach people. And, we don't have to do what Josh and Kenrick do, just strangers in the street. That's why I'm saying find somewhere where you can build relationships with people on a regular basis and get to know them. And then, you know, it also says a great word. One of the things the message says is don't worry about what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. Isn't that great? The Holy Spirit on the inside of you will supply the words. And then, sorry, Liz said I shouldn't do this kind of faff around, but anyway. And Paul says in Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing at work or at home or wherever you are, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And I want to say, we don't have credibility if what comes out of our mouths most of the time at work or wherever is grumbling and complaining. We don't have credibility then, but we do have credibility if your life reflects the Lord. Amen. And then, as like a star in the universe, you hold out the word of life. And I've got much more, but we have taken the time. Have I? You're all sons of the light and sons of the day. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Again, because we're in the spiritual battle. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. You know, and that's just part of the armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians. So it's just to be alert. We are sons of the light, daughters of the light. We carry the light wherever we go. Now, you know, in the early church, Les mentioned it last week, they had a very interesting way of evangelism. You know, it was amazing. Acts 2, it says how the believers lived. And this is the community. This is the community of God that we are part of. We are part of a community where we love one another. And that is the biggest tool for evangelism, guys. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles out in the streets, wherever they are. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And I really believe that that is God's best tool of evangelism that he gives us, is community, is a loving community where people are safe to come in because we love them, we don't judge them, they feel loved. They feel befriended, and that. And then it says also in 1 John, dear friends, if this is the extent of God's love for us, coming, dying on the cross, then surely we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God as he is, yet if we truly put our love for one another into action, his love is revealed and fulfilled in us and the world will see that love. Isn't that amazing? So love is a practical thing. It's a thing we do. You know, it's a doing word, not a feeling word, really. So putting our love into practice is inviting people around to your house for a meal. Just stepping out of your comfort zone. Inviting the family of believers so that we are family. It's so hard to build community in London. We would love to be in a little local, happy little church, you know, near us where we can reach the old and the young and the mums and the toddlers and do all of that stuff. But God's placed us here. And it's a daily challenge for us to build community here, to build relationships where we're safe with one another and we love one another. And when we reach all these lost young people who are going to come into the kingdom, they're on their way, they're going to come to a safe place where they're loved and accepted and not judged. And so my last prayer, and this is what I pray. Paul says, I pray, this is in Philemon, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a good understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Isn't that an amazing passage? I'm going to read it again. I pray that you may be active, and I do, Lord, I pray for every person here that we may be active in sharing our faith so that we will have a good understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Every time you share your testimony or something about God, it affirms the revelation in your own heart of how amazing God is. And we need that. We need that faith boost every day. Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you that this place is going to be full, heaving with young people. We thank you. We see it. We can see in the Spirit all those people out there who don't know you yet, sons and daughters who you're going to restore to your church, to your body of Christ. We thank you, my God. We thank you. We thank you for good soil tonight. Thank you, Jesus.